TV all the time, which is really just kind of another version of Kenneth Taylor's Living Bible of 20 years ago. And this here is the New World Translation. That's the Jehovah Witness Bible. Then they printed for their own sales. This here's an expounded translation of the New Testament. I've got some other ones somewhere. This here is the New International Version. Now, this is about the most popular version on the market for a lot of Baptist churches nowadays, and they call it the NIV. And the reason this thing is so popular is because a lot of famous Southern Baptist preachers are using the NIV. And you will see here in the next few minutes exactly what the difference is. In other words, when we get up and we say, boy, that old King James Bible is the Word of God, we're not just saying that because we're ignorant and don't know no better. We're saying that we have a reason for what we believe, and we believe the Bible is the Word of God to the exclusion of the other English versions, and we have a reason for believing it. And, of course, we're going to tell you about the ASV, the RSV, the new ASV. That's the New American Standard Version. The ASV is the old American Standard Version. The RV was the Revised Version. The RSV, the Revised Standard Version. And all these claim to be doing one thing. They claim to be doing one thing. Make the Bible easier to understand. But the truth is, the very opposite has happened. And it's created a much more confusion about the Word of God than it has cleared up. So, as you remember last week, we got talking about the slime in the purslane and the slimy juice of a marshmallow, which in your King James Bible said there's no taste in the white of an egg. And, of course, we were trying to show you that the new versions are not clear at all. We talked to you about how that the King James Bible says butter, and the New Modern Versions will say curdled milk or cream, or not milk or cream at all, or just a cup of milk. And then we got into a little more serious ones about, instead of using the word hell, it will use grave. Now, here's a real slick trick of the devil. I was witnessing to a man up here at the shopping center one day, and he told me, he said this. He said, well, see, you preachers that believe in hell are wrong, because hell is nothing but a pit. And so, be your basement. Or it might be a hole that you dig to put potatoes in. Anything that's a pit would be hell. You know where he learned that? I found out later he'd been watching Garner Ted Armstrong on TV. And that's what Armstrong believes. And Armstrong got that from Jehovah Witnesses and their teaching. Now, you say, well, Brother Danny, what about that? What about that thing about hell being a pit? Well, the truth is, hell is a pit. But every pit isn't hell. See? Man, go out here and dig him a big old pit 100 feet deep. That ain't hell. But hell is a pit. So you got to be careful. And now an unregenerate man who has a fallen nature and his depraved nature and is not born again, boy, he'll latch on to something like that. That's exactly what he wants. I would have loved for somebody to come up to me when I was lost and showed me that there wasn't no hell, wouldn't you? I mean, that would have been a breath of fresh air. I'd have thought, oh boy, you're the man I've been wanting to talk to. Tell me there's no hell. Prove to me there's no hell. But alas, alas, it won't work. And there is a hell, and it is a pit. That doesn't mean every pit is hell. That means hell is a pit. So when you go back to a Greek word and it says pit, they turn right around and say, aha, see there? That's got nothing to do with fire and burning. It's just a hole in the ground, which is not true at all. You'll hear the Jehovah Witnesses also try to get out of the doctrine of hell by saying that Jesus was referring to the city dump when he's talking about being cast into the lake of fire, that Gehenna over there, and it was a dump that burned 24 hours a day, and Jesus said, you know, that you'll be cast into that. Well, that's cute, you know, and it makes good little teaching for false doctrine, but that won't work either. the Lord was comparing that city dump to something that you couldn't see. The Lord was always doing that. He'd take a mustard seed. He'd take a fig tree. He'd say, now this is like the kingdom of God. He said, you see that dump over there where that fire goes out? That's like the lake of fire where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. So you can't get around it. If you take this Bible at face value and let it say what it says and don't try to change it, it does definitely teach that there is a hell. And it has fire in it, and it never, ever goes out. Buddy, that's something that ought to really get a hold of us this morning. And that's what should motivate us to do something and reach others for the Lord Jesus Christ. When a missionary comes through here and we take him up an offering, that's what we're taking him up an offering for, to help him go into countries and reach people to stay out of that place. But anyway, it's very dangerous when a Bible takes out the word hell and inserts the word grave. Let me just flip over here right out of curiosity and tell you what that new NIV says in Psalm 9:17. Let me just look. I don't even know. Psalm 9:17. The wicked return to the grave, all the nations that forget God. You see how that neatly just took out the word hell? And if you were to say, hey, that's wrong, they'd say, well, in the Old Testament, that word translated grave was also translated hell. But why in the world would anybody who believed the Bible want it to say grave instead of hell? Unless they're trying to tone down the message of the Bible just a little bit so it wouldn't be so offensive to people that don't believe in it. Now, the truth is, your Bible says, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. If I just said, the wicked return to the grave and all the nations that forget God, I hadn't said anything. The wicked go to the grave. Well, good night, everybody goes to the grave, whether you're wicked or not. That ain't said nothing. The wicked return to the grave and all the nations that forget God. The nations that don't forget God go to the grave. Everybody goes to the grave. So that book has said nothing at all. All right. Now we're going down a little bit further this morning. And I want you to turn in your Bibles again to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter number 8. And I'm going to show you a place where the modern versions of the Bible, at least some of them, leave out the plan of salvation. That is very serious. That's a very serious mistake. Acts chapter 8. Everybody look at it. And you'll notice here in Acts chapter 8, one of the first conversions in the New Testament of a man being saved by grace through faith. And it's in Acts chapter 8 where this Ethiopian eunuch had Philip to come up in the chariot and preach to him the Word of God. And how many of you are familiar with this story? You know this story. Okay, you need to start reading your Bibles more if you're not familiar with this. That's what God gave it to you for. Read it. This man's going down the road in his chariot. He don't understand the Bible. Philip says, what are you reading? And he said, I'm reading the Bible. And he said, do you understand what you're reading? And the man says, no, I can't unless somebody come up here and teach me. So Philip goes up into the chariot, sits down, teaches the man the Bible, and the man gets saved. That is, if you've got the King James Version. If you've got the NIV, he don't get saved at all. He just gets baptized. I'll show you that in just a second. Acts chapter 8, verse 36. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He made his profession of faith right there in verse 37. In verse 37 he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Bang! He got saved right there. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The old boy got eternal life right there as he confessed the Lord as his Savior. Now, you want a shock? Let me read that verse to you in the New International Version. Acts chapter 8 and verse 37, where the boy got saved. Acts chapter 8. Verse 37. There ain't no verse 37 in this Bible. It has 36, and 36 sounds like this. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here's water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" Blank space. And then it says 38. You say, "Well, Brother Danny, why in the world wouldn't they put that verse in there?" And here's the secret, and I'm going to go into this more in detail next week, Lord willing. That's because the New International Version and the other modern versions of the Bible are taken from a completely different set of Greek manuscripts than the King James Bible was taken from. In other words, when the King James translators in 1600 sat down to translate your Bible from Greek and Hebrew, they had one set of manuscripts. The fellows who wrote these Bibles took them from another group of manuscripts, and those manuscripts don't have verse 37 in it. Somebody cut it out. And whoever cut it out made it sound like that all a man's got to do is just get baptized and he's saved. They cut out verse 37. Now let me read you an interesting little footnote here in this New International Version. It says here, or it says verse 37, it don't have nothing but a little F. That means a footnote down here. And at the bottom it says, some late manuscripts say, if you believe with all your heart, you may. The eunuch answered, "I believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God." Some late manuscripts. In other words, they're saying, some late manuscripts, like the one the King James Bible was translated from, read thus and so, but they're wrong. We're right. This is the way it's supposed to be. Now, which one would you say would be right? If you didn't know anything about either Bible, which one would you say would be right? One that says 34, 35, 36, 38, 39? One that they can't even count, let alone translate a Bible. 37 comes after 36. And what they should have done is made 38, 37, if they'd really want to be honest about it. But if they'd have done that, this chapter would have had less verses in it and everybody would have flipped out. And so what they're trying to do is just sneak it by you while you ain't paying attention. Boy, I tell you, I went in a bookstore yesterday over in Robbinsville, and I couldn't find my NIV, and so I bought this little one. We bought this little one over there yesterday. It was $6.95, and I brought it to for y'all to show y'all that some stuff is. And a lady that was running the store, it was a whole section of gospel books and stuff like that. And I went to the checkout counter and I had it there. And she looked down and she said, "Oh, it's so good to see somebody buying an NIV. And I went, "Ugh." I had on my new Manna Baptist Youth Camp t-shirt. And she said, "Where are you from?" I said, "I'm from Marion." And I said, "Oh, I'm not buying that because I believe it. I'm going to teach our church what's wrong with it." And she said, "What?" I said, "I didn't want you to think I believed that. I said, I'm going to teach our church the mistakes in it tomorrow morning and in Sunday school." And she said, "What are you talking about?" She just thought it was the greatest thing to ever. Now, what's that woman doing selling something in there she ain't even read? I asked her, did she know this story about that I just told you about the Ethiopian eunuch? She didn't even know what I was talking about. She didn't even know what I was talking about. Can you imagine selling a book in your bookstore and saying, "Boy, I'm glad to see you buying that," and ain't even never read it? You know, why'd she do that? Because some great preacher that she's got confidence in recommends it. And we are living in a generation of Christians who are too lazy to check it out for themselves. Just whatever their favorite preacher says, that's what they go for. Now, I want to tell you something, brother. I like to hear preaching. I know a lot of preachers I got confidence in. But when push comes to shove, I'm going to get my Bible down and I'm going to find out what God said. Don't never just take a man's word for something. Check it out in the Scripture. There's some of you people sitting right here this morning. You believe some crazy stuff, and the only reason you believe it is because you was taught that all of your life. And anytime you hear something different, you say, "No, that ain't right." And you've never took time to check it out in the Scripture. You might be surprised what you might find if you get in there. I told that lady, I said, "Did you know that that book says that Elhanan killed a giant?" She said, "No." I said, "Well, it does." I said, Who do you believe? Who killed the giant? She said, David. I said, that's what I believe. I believe David killed him. But did you know that book said in 2 Samuel that Elhanan killed him? Let's check that out over there in 2 Samuel chapter 19, I believe it is. And your professor at school or your teacher or your preacher or something, he tells you what a great book the NIV is. Show him this. 2 Samuel 21. 2 Samuel chapter 21. Now I hope you're writing all these down in the back of your Bible, and that way you'll know how to battle it out with somebody when they start telling you're an old hillbilly and you're a fanatic and don't know no better for believing your King James Bible. 2 Samuel chapter 21. And you'll look with me at verse 19. All right, Brother John, if you would, stand up and turn around and read that out of your King James Bible real loud so everybody can hear it. Now, here's what your Bible says. All right, Goliath the giant had four brothers. The one that David killed, you remember him? That boy had four brothers. That's why David picked up five rocks. See? They said he got one for each one of them big guys. Now, this guy was such a pervert that two of his brothers were his sons. For further details than that, see your supermarket tabloids as you're checking out at the grocery counter. Now, listen, this guy was killed by Elhanan. But in the NIV, lo and behold, it says this. In another battle with the Philistines at Gob, Elhanan, son of Jeroregim, the Bethlehemite, killed Goliath, the Gittite, who had a spear with a shaft like a weaver's rod. Now, I told that lady over there yesterday, I said, now, one of three things. Number one, there was two Goliaths of Gath, and David killed one and Elhanan killed the other. Number two, there's a mistake in this Bible. Or number three, two different men killed the same feller. Now, one of them three has got to be. And listen, Elhanan didn't kill the giant. That's a mistake. You say, well, Brother Danny, why does it have it like that? What does your Bible say? Now, right there, right before it says Goliath. What does it say right before Goliath? The brother of. Do you see where it says the brother of is in italics? Look in your Bible. It says in italics. It says the brother of is in italics. The rest of it's in just straight, bold print. The italics were not in the Greek. And so what these guys did, when they come along and translated, they just went over there and just missed the brother of and just went ahead and put it in there and just went had him killing the wrong man, had the wrong man killing Goliath because they said, well, those italics are not inspired. The King James translators were led of the Lord. They knew those four guys down through there were his brothers, and they said killed the brother of the giant. And the way you know it's right, the way you know your King James is right, because any other way of reading it would be a lie. All right? Now, we're just getting good and started here. And I want to tell you the versions that have that wrong. Now, you've got to be careful about this. For example, I bet I could pick up this book right here and it would have it right. This is the book they advertise on TV. I bet you I can pick this one up and it'll have it right. What do you bet? We ain't supposed to bet. That's just figure of speech. 2 Samuel 21 and verse number 19. Oh, let's see here. At still another time, at the same place, Elhanan killed the brother of Goliath the Gittite. The book's got it right. The NIV's got it wrong. Let's check out the Jehovah's Witness Bible just for curiosity and see what they say. 2 Samuel 21 here and 19. Yeah, they got it wrong. And war rose once again with the Philistines at Gob. Mahanan, the son of Jorgan, the Bethlehemite, got to strike down Goliath the Gittite. There's a good one to show the next Jehovah Witness that comes to your house. Say, did you know your Bible's got a lie in it? They'll say, no. You'll say, well, who killed the giant? And they'll say, David. And you'll say, not according to your Bible in 2 Samuel he didn't. They said, well, he killed him in 1 Samuel 17. Well, you said, well, Elhanan killed him in 2 Samuel 21. Now, which one killed him? Did he come back from the dead? And then somebody else had to knock him down, you know? Did he have many lives or something? Now, I'm going to show you the versions that that's wrong in. Okay, you ready? Here they come. The NIV, write these down. The NWT, that's the New World Translation. The RSV and the New ASV. Write down NIV, NWT, RSV, and NASV. Now, the reason I'm telling you to do that because somebody come over and they'll say, well, what's wrong with my Living Bible? And you'll say, it says Elhanan killed the giant. No, it don't. It says he killed the brother of the giant. The only the ones that I gave you have it wrong. You make a fool out of yourself right there if you ain't careful. Okay? I don't know what this... Oh, that's just a New Testament. All right, is there any questions on why it says that? Anybody got any questions on that right there? We're going to move on. Now, let's give you another one here. The one on the plan of salvation, here's the one that has it wrong. The RSV, the NWT, and the NIV. The Living Bible has it, but says it ain't supposed to be in there. The New American Standard Version has it, but the footnote says it ain't supposed to be in there. The RSV, it's out. The New World Translation, it's out. The New International Version, it's out. All right, let's move on to our next illustration. Let's deal with another one that has to do with a man getting saved. Turn to Luke chapter 23. The book of Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23, and we'll show you another fella getting saved, and the New Modern Versions mess with it. This one is messed with in the NIV, the New World Translation, the RSV, the NASV, the Living Bible, and just about every single one of them messes with this verse. This is Luke chapter 23. You know, that lady yesterday, that blew her mind. She couldn't believe it. And I showed her two or three more, and she said, where'd you learn that? And I said, well, just here and there, you know, picking up, studying a little bit, and listening to tapes and reading books and stuff. And she said, that's interesting. And I said, well, something you ought to think about, you know. I mean, you know, two different Bibles say two different things. They both can't be right. Right? If you got three Bibles and they say three completely different things and contradict each other, they all three cannot be right. Either they're all wrong, or one of them's right and the others are wrong. If they're all wrong, we're out of business. Shut the doors, turn the lights out. We have nothing to preach. And if one of them's right, guess which one it is. You can guess whichever one. You say, well, how do you know which one's right? Jesus said, by their fruits you shall know them. Look at the fruits of the King James Bible. Every church, I've never seen anybody preaching on the street out of another version. Have you? I've never seen anybody build a great soul-winning church off of another version of the Bible. Amen? It just don't. The fruits of the King James Bible prove it's the one that God has His hand on. Or like a little kid in Sunday school said, he said, Mama, I know who the Virgin Mary was, but who's the King James Virgin? All right, Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. Now, this is the famous story of the thief on the cross dying beside the Lord Jesus Christ and gets saved. Boy, I liked all them little poems and songs about that. There's three men, the man in the middle, the man on the tree, and the one in the middle is dying for me. And all these stories about how that one man died in his sins, one man died saved from his sins, and another man died for sins. And all this picture here, this great illustration of the man on the cross that got saved. The old dying thief. Now look here in Luke chapter 23. I want you to look what it said in verse 42. Luke chapter 23 and verse 42. And the old boy's getting ready to die on the cross here. And as he's getting ready to die on the cross, he looks to the Lord and he said this, verse 42. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Amen. The Lord, he looked over at the Lord and he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. How does a man get saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the what? Lord. A man has got to confess Jesus as Lord to be saved. You cannot be saved without believing that Jesus is just an ordinary man. Boy, you ain't going to believe it. You ain't going to believe it. Listen here what these modern versions say. I'm talking about just about every one of them. Here's your NIV that's so popular among the Baptist churches. Listen to what it said. Luke 23:42. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. What's wrong with that? He left out his lordship. He just looked over and said, Jesus, remember me. In your King James, he said, Lord, remember me. Now that word Lord is left out in the NIV. That word Lord is left out in the New World Translation, the Jehovah Witness Bible, the Revised Standard Version, the New American Standard Version, and the Living Bible. This book, let's see what the book says. Now, I'm going to tell you why they left that out there in just a second. Luke chapter number 23 and verse 42. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come to your kingdom. You say, well, Brother Danny, what's a big deal? As long as he called. Well, there's a big deal in that the only way a person can be saved is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, do you know why that these modern versions of the Bible do not say Lord in that verse and only say Jesus? I found out a very, very interesting thing. And you can see the sneaky, subtle attacks of the devil as he's beginning to hack away at the Word of God. There was, listen carefully, there was a group of people in the New Testament, and still is today, a group of people, I forgot what they called themselves or what they were known as, but they believed this. They believed that Jesus Christ was a special man, but he was just a man. Listen carefully now. Listen now. They believed that Jesus Christ was just a man until he was 30 years old. And when he was 30 years old, when he was baptized and that dove came down out of heaven, quote, the Christ came on him. Now, the Christ is a term that means anointed one, and that Jesus was not the Christ until he was baptized. You see what I'm saying? So, he was a normal human being up until he was baptized, and as he got baptized, the Christ came on him. Now, watch this. They believe that Christ stayed on him for 3.5 years. So when he got put on the cross and sin came on him and he bore our sins, the Christ left him. So when he was on the cross bearing our sins, he was a normal man again. And that's why their Bibles say Jesus instead of Lord. You see that? Can you understand that? Now, let me pass some of these around here. Here you go. So, see, who wants to look at one? I want everybody that wants to look at one to raise your hand. Here you go, Ann.
I have some of these out. Now,
Just raise your hand real high and grab one of them and turn to Luke 23, and I'm going to show you these. Just raise, there's some hands back there, brother, and just pass it to the person beside you. We don't have time for everybody to look at it, but just pick out at random and turn to Luke chapter 23 and verse 42. Now, did you hear what I said? I said they believe this. The Christ came on Jesus at His baptism. That made Him Lord. But He was only Lord for 3.5 years, for as He died on the cross, the Christ left Him. So the old boy looked over and said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Boy, isn't that a sneaky, slick attack on the Word of God. Let me tell you something, buddy. You want to hear something fanatical? He was the Christ when He opened up His eyes in Bethlehem's manger. He was the Christ when He was working in a carpenter shop when He was 11 years old. He was the Lord God of glory when He was running around as a barefoot boy at 7 and 8 years old. Amen. Boy, that'll make you shout. Amen. He was the Lord of glory when He died and His eyes closed on Calvary. He knew exactly what He was here for. He didn't become the Christ and then become not the Christ. He was the Christ, the Lord of glory all the way through. God was manifest in flesh. And that's who Jesus Christ was. Now your average reader of the Bible and your average person sitting in the pew would never know that. All they know is Dr. So-and-so is preaching it and it sounds good and he's been to school so he ought to know. And he's went to an education, got his degree from a university, and so he ought to know these kind of things. And the thing they like about it is it don't have so many these and thous. Now, anybody in here that has problem understanding thee and thou? I love thee, you know. Who art thou? I mean, if they can't understand the Bible, they can't understand the songs. You say, well, we don't want to change the songs because the people are used to them. Amen. Good point. Let's don't change the Word of God either. People know what these and thous mean. And you don't want your Bible to read like a newspaper. You want your Bible to read noble and lofty. It wouldn't hurt to get you a dictionary to keep beside your Bible and check it out and look up some words once in a while. I'd rather have to look up beholdeth and wit and thee and other words like that once in a while than I would have a Bible that said El Hanan killed a giant. Wouldn't you? I'd rather stumble over some words and have some of that old English in there that I don't quite get the tense of every now and then than have a Bible that said that didn't say Lord Jesus when He was on the cross. Wouldn't you? Alright, anybody else want to see them Bibles, raise your hand. One of you other people will slide yours over to them, okay? Because we're going to have to start getting them up here, and we got about 2 or 3 minutes here. Check that one there in 2 Samuel 21:19 while you got them too, and you might want to look at them. Now, that book has got that one right, but they're all wrong on this one. Alright, to sum up what we've said this morning, we're saying this. The new modern versions of the Bible are not necessarily clearer. They make a terrible mistake in Psalm 9:17 by inserting the word grave instead of hell. That's the New World Translation, the RSV, the NASV, the NIV, and most of your Bibles. I never did check that book. Who's got that book? Check that in Psalm 9:17, brother. Now, the plan of salvation has been altered in Acts 8:37. So if you're making notes, right in the back of your Bible there, plan of salvation, Acts 8:37. And the ones that's changed it is the New World Translation, the NIV, and the RSV. Okay? The plan of salvation in Luke 22:23-42. If you want to write that down the back of your Bible, the plan of salvation, Luke 23:42. It's changed in the NIV, the NWT, the RSV, the NASV, in the living Bible. And that comes from that doctrine that taught that He was only the Christ from the time He was 30 until the time they put Him on the cross. I don't know what the book says there. I think the book always says the same thing as the living Bible most times. What does it say in Psalm 9:17? Well, ain't that something? The book's got it more right than the modern version. What about Luke 23, brother? Luke 23:42. I was reading one of them old mountain talks for Southerners, for Yankees and other immigrants, you know, that they sell at these places. And it said, hail, H-A-I-L, hail. And then down below it said, where the devil lives. What was it? Yeah. There you go. It's wrong on that one. The book. That's true. That's right. Just the ones that forget God. You're a whole lot better off to stick with the old book that God has honored down through the years. You're a whole lot better off. You're a whole lot better off. And I don't care if Dr. Doodle Stopper, that has been to college for 3,000 years, comes up and says it's wrong. No disrespect. I'm not trying to hurt his feelings or anything. But brother, I'm not going to take a man's word over something when God has honored His old book for 350 years like no other book has ever been honored in the history of the world. You do well to stick with this book. And whatever it says, just say, "Tum." That's it. It's settled. If it says hell, it means hell. And if you want to find out what hell means, turn in Mark 10 and it'll tell you what hell means. It's a place where there's fire and the people don't die and the worms not quench. And the fire don't die. All right. Anybody got a question right there before we close? Anyone have a question right there before we close? Anyone? Yeah, good question. Because it says such a prominent place in society. But Don? Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right. If everyone still believed the King James Bible was the Word of God, there wouldn't even be that split there in the convention. It's just everybody's... One man's opinion is good as anybody else's if you ain't got no Bible. If you ain't got a Bible, it's the Word of God. What I think is good as what you think. What you think is good as what somebody else thinks. All right, we're going to stop right there. I need those Bibles back up here, whoever's got them. If you would, just bring them right back, and let's have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for the Word of God that's quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. I pray that our church will be on guard. I pray that we'll be like Christian soldiers, knowing what we believe and knowing why we believe it. Help us, dear God, to stand for the truth and on the Word, the B-I-B-L-E. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God.